The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Listening to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. We are with our live studio audience for the 106th live show at the East Meadow Public Library. Yay! Thank you. They got quite the show, if you will, setting up here. Yeah, we got to see a lot of BTS hidden things going on here. We're here with senior correspondent Charles Saladino.
How's everybody doing?
It's been a long time. It's nice to have you back. And with filmmaker Lee Kolinsky.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Our great co-host. Hopefully they'll jump in if I lose track. We'll see. We got started at Rocky Starts. Maybe the rest will be smooth. We'll see what happens, you know? Sometimes something crazy in life happens and the rest is real smooth. And you haven't heard one voice you hear on the radio every week. And joining us for the first time guest is comic book writer and designated creator, Mark Torres. For those on the radio, he's wearing red. All right, on this week's show, we're going to be talking to, with, and about Mark, which is awesome because he's here. Love Mark. When I say God bless Mark, we're going to say that later on the show. But before that, we have to take it away with the news.
It's Morphin' time!
The news is brought to you in part by sci-fi.radio. That's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. As the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official radio show celebrating 29 years of pop culture-ness and comic book stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. Their next convention is scheduled for November the 21st, and tickets are not on sale now. Also, we want to give a shout-out to our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grill, award-winning Jared Burrell, Newsday Famous, Dresden Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasmin and Ray, The Huracan, Millie Portes, and GTS Comics. If you want your own shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, and on there you'll find a button to take you right to our Patreon page. All right, also on the Came From the Radio website is Mark's comic book, Designated, which is about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. The war finds its way to Earth, and some humans gain abilities as a result. Issue 1 and Issue 2 are on sale right now. Plus, on the website, we have an option to get a special designated shout-out for those who want to support the comic. We have one special designated shout-out for Jimmy Palmiotti. And as always, against my will, we start off the show with a downer, with the sad news, which I would like to petition to get off the show. But here we go anyway. Director James Edward Burroughs, known professionally as James Burroughs, died recently. As of this recording, no cause has been announced. James directed over 237 movies and TV shows and was a co-creator of the NBC sitcom Cheers. On top of that, he had a hand in such shows as Frasier, Will and Grace, Friends, Taxi, Gary Unmarried, all the in front of a live studio audience shows, Mike and Molly, and the William Shatner series, My Dad Says, back in 2010, just to name a few. All right, so Cheers. Did you guys watch Cheers? Did you watch any of these shows? You got anything to say about the guy who died?
Oh, gosh. You ready? You want to know what that one?
I watched a lot of that stuff. It was really good. It's very sad that he's gone. He was very talented, and we're going to miss him.
Thank you. I'm glad I could hear you, senior correspondent. As far as Cheers goes, I just like to say one of my favorite songs is, "Sometimes I like to go where nobody knows my name."
Damn.
And I'm always glad I came. Yeah.
Did you ever hear the whole song?
What's that?
Did you ever hear the whole song?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some weird...
It's a little depressing.
There's some weird things.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff in that. I'm
going to do the quiet part.
Oh, you can go ahead and sing if you want.
But you didn't go that far.
Oh.
Anyway.
Well, it's nice to go where people don't know your name sometimes, you know?
Great show.
Oh my God, fabulous show. Great spin-off of that show, Frasier.
Frasier was good too.
Oh, I thought you were going to say goodbye.
Frasier.
Like, cheers, goodbye. Yeah. Or like, let's pour one out. Anyway, okay, moving on. He was 85, RIP. This is all for Mark. I'm doing this all for Mark. Last bit of sad news. Actor and comedian Ronald Ralph Schell also died recently. Also, no cause has been given. While Ralph is perhaps best known for his role as Duke Slater in 92 episodes of the series as Gomer Pyle from 1964 to 1969, Mark knew him best as the voice of Rick Raccoon, the leader, for 23 episodes of the animated series Shirt Tales, as well as Jason, the original Battle of the Cartoon, for 85 episodes way back in 1978. He was 94. Mark Torres, you're here. Let's hear from you. What do you have to say about this?
Battle of the Planets was a great animated series when I was a kid. One of the things that stuck out about it was that the main character, his name was Mark. So I made an instant connection to that.
Oh, really?
And the rebel guy, the Wolverine-type character, if you will, was named Jason,
mm-hmm.
and that was the guy who did the voice.
So you don't get jealous that there's another Mark out there
stealing
some shine from you?
Not at all.
I don't know. I hear there's another Jen. I'm like, who's this other Jen? Jen who, you know? I don't know. All right. Then we're done with the sad news. Thank God. Whew. All right. From the...
That's a lot of nuts!
...department, the new Toy Story sequel, part 5 of those few keeping track, I am not, has held on to the number one spot in the domestic box office, pulling in an additional $70.8 million in ticket sales in its second week of release, beating out the new Supergirl movie, which came in at number 2 spot, making... a disappointing $37.1 million in its first week of release. For those of you keeping track, the Super Mario sequel is still the highest grossing film of this year so far, with $429.7 million, followed by Michael Jackson biopic with the $370.5 million. Toy Story has jumped from number 6 to 4th place in just 1 week. Has anyone seen any of these movies? Like to comment.
No.
Yeah, I did. I saw Supergirl.
Let's hear it, because I've heard mixed things about that.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan.
Why not? Are you sexist?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Are you racist and sexist? Is that why you don't like Supergirl?
If that's how you want to paint me today. No.
I'm too lazy to paint you.
Okay. No, the first, 10-20 minutes were, really good, but then it just kind of got to a point where it was, just kind of boring. It felt like it was very, set design was kind of, it was nice, but it was CGI. It was kind of it felt like you were on a set watching it to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the plot itself is just kind of, I have a theory that if you have a kid in a movie with an adult throughout, most of those movies are pretty terrible.
Oh.
So,
because, why do you think?
The kid gets kind of annoying.
The
kid gets kind of annoying, and they kind of focus on the kid most of the time.
Oh, see, I would think it's because you have to do earmuffs around children and bring down everything, you know?
No, not really.
Right.
Earmuffs?
Yeah, yeah, if there's a kid around, I gotta kind of water myself down.
PG movie.
Right.
I think it was PG. No?
We should have learned from Japan
mm-hmm.
not to put kids in movies. Because they put their...
The kids stink.
Not that they stink.
Oh, well.
But just so, it's just you want to take their heads and squeeze them because... Well, they're in the...
You want to take their heads and squeeze them? Clarify yourself.
I'll give you an example.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you an example. They have movie like Godzilla, right? Or any monster movie from Japan.
Yes.
You always have a kid with a baseball cap on.
Right.
Right? And he's the most annoying thing in the movie. And he'll run and he'll say something like, Godzilla is my friend, right?
Right, right.
Godzilla is my friend. I would love for Godzilla to eat him, right when, he's my friend. That would be a great movie.
There's a difference. If it's an all-kid movie, it's fine.
Okay.
Maybe it's the movie
definitely.
Sandlot, right?
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Getting serious now, because I was kidding about the other stuff.
Sure.
Just... how the first Supergirl would have Alan Slater.
Oh, yeah.
And this one
mm-hmm.
is so, identical. They both didn't do well.
Hmm.
But they could have probably... this one could have done better. I just don't think they put a good plot together.
Yeah, in this day and age, it could have... did a lot better.
Well, he also had Jason Momoa in there, and everybody was like, oh, that's going to be great. But he was all right.
I don't get it.
But how was the dog? That's my question.
Dog was good.
There you go.
I think just when you complained that it felt like set decoration, so that's why when I was setting up the show, I wanted to feel really raw and uncut today and real and nothing too manufactured. So that was you know, my reasoning behind today's setup. All right, moving on. From the hey, I want some money too department, none other than comic book artist Mark Brooks took to social media to discuss his thoughts on retailer exclusive comic book cover variants. Mark, not me, says, I'm finding out more and more about some of these retailers and their exclusive absolute Batman variants. In many cases, the retailers make it mid to high five figures, sometimes even in the six figures, while only giving the artist 100 issues or so for them to sell themselves, plus a little money, often around like $1,000. The more I hear about this, the angrier I'm getting. Excuse me, Charles. If you're a retailer making mid to high five figures and not cutting the artist in, I hope the artist figures it out and stops doing variants for you. If I found out a retailer was treating a creator that way, I'm going to go out of my way to make sure they know how they're being taken advantage of. Those days need to be over. You hear that? Over, over, over. Respect and compensate the creator that's making you a lot of money. You hear that, Mark? These are methods and ways to do things that benefit everyone and make the retailer more successful in the long run. This is not against retailers that are ethical. I love and support retailers, I do. And do covers for them from time to time. Jesus, that's right. Hell, I'm doing one for a retailer right now. I just think there needs to be more transparency and more respect. There's plenty to go around for everyone. As always, the internet's response has been swift and divisive, to which Mark replies, I'm speaking simply of exclusives done by an artist or a retailer. Non-exclusives, general stock, are not part of the discussion or the point I'm trying to make. Interior artists, inkers, letterers, writers all get royalties for the number of books sold. That includes retailer variants. The more retailer variants that are ordered, the more money the entire team makes. Except for cover artists. Cover artists don't receive any royalties. Not even the main cover artists, even if they're the interior artists as well. They'll get royalties from the interior, of course, but not the cover. The cover artists normally receive a flat fee regardless of how successful a book is. My goal, Mark Brooks, is for everything to be transparent, with the artists and retailer knowing what they're agreeing to so they can make it a more informed decision. I also would like to see retailers and artists partnering rather than just being a hired gun situation. You, as a retailer, contact DC and get Artist X to do a retailer variant for you. You then reach out to artists offering a partnership and set down expectations. You spend $15,000 to print the book. The artist begins promoting the book cover and all the social media pages, and in some cases that means reaching hundreds of thousands of people. They include links to your store, process shot to the cover, and maybe a time-lapse video or two, while constantly mentioning your store and when the covers will be available. They literally do the marketing for you. This is the artist buy-in to the partnership. The cover gets released and you sell out. You're pulling $70,000 for one book. After recouping, printing, shipping, etc., you end up $40,000. You then split that with the artist, so you each have 20K profit. Congrats, you just made more money than you would have made with the old method. I hope this helps better explain my point of view. You, of course, are welcome to disagree. My methods and opinions come from experience over many years, and I don't come by them lightly. I want everyone to be successful, and I feel we can do it if we all work together and not continually try to take advantage of each other. I know it's the capitalistic way, but it's not always the best way. Thoughts?
See, Mark, she sounds exactly like the guy.
Exactly. Exactly. I am Mark Brooks. So thoughts on all this?
I don't care.
You don't care? What do you think? What do you think of this, Mark Torres?
So I think the guy is trying to use the same problem that's been having with a lot of TV shows back in the day. Most famously, Dukes of Hazzard, where the people sign a contract, they do the work, they get paid for the work, the product gets really, really big, and then they're like, hey, I want a share of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's saying is that the cover artists are like that. So if there was a TV show called New York on the Cover, it was on Fox, and the two leads were like, hey, we want more money, but it was Fox. And the next season, they killed off one of the guys in a car explosion. And as I mentioned, just a hazard, they did replace Bo and Luke Duke with Coy and Vance because there was a dispute. And they walked off the show because of merchandising, and they felt they wanted more money.
Mm.
And as you know, I'm a very huge Power Rangers fan. And that was a big point of contention for Power Rangers, is that they signed a contract to be in the show. The show became a global sensation. They were making pennies on a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, we want more money, or we walk. And they won't, because they didn't get more money. So that's what he wants. And then as you also read, that he's saying that his plan is to basically turn the cover artist into a marketing machine for them. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really stupid idea, because now they're not doing what they're hired to do. They're hired to draw a cover.
Mm-hmm.
For my book, I got a cover artist. You did the issue too. You got paid to be the model for the second thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the extent of it. At no point in time should I be like, well, in addition to that, I want you to go on social media and make a big thing out of it and to promote it, and then you'll reap part of the money coming back.
Yeah.
And the counter argument is, what if the product is unsuccessful?
Mm-hmm.
So are they now going to give you money?
Hmm. Well, I understand where Mark or myself is coming from, my alter ego, because I've always said that for my own projects, I only want people involved who will promote. So if there's a cover artist, audio, even if there's a director of photography, this is very unorthodox, but I'm very unorthodox, I want everyone promoting. I don't want anyone on my set or involved in any of my projects who's just going to take the paycheck and do the audio work or set deck, and then that's it. I want everyone, because if everyone pitches in and everyone promotes and helps, then now you have a team working together. Otherwise, you just have one producer, like it always is, maybe an actor or two that's usually narcissistic and wants to promote things for their own self-serving interests. You got to work together as a team. So I actually will put it in a contract, like you have to promote this many times per year. And if you don't want to do it, don't even get involved. Like don't even enter my house if you're not going to go out of your way to do good for me in my house and clean a floor. Otherwise, you're just surrounded by takers. So, I don't know. I think that's the way you got to do it to be successful. So I understand where it's coming from. And I'd be fine with you telling me that I have to promote your stuff, but, it would have to be discussed ahead. But anyway, people should all pitch in. Yeah, I mean, do you really want someone on your team who's not helping? That's my point of view. All right, let's move on to the next piece of news. All right, I actually have something to say about this. Did I not talk at all yet? From the Do You Really Own It department, none other than PlayStation has announced that as of January 2028, every new PlayStation game will be released digital only. Physical disc production for new titles is ending. On top of that, Microsoft is already testing a tool that converts physical discs into digital licenses tied to the disc itself, meaning that if you sell it or lend it, the license transfers with it. Executives say, consumer preferences in the broader entertainment industry continue to shift away from physical disc to digital. For all new games releasing on PlayStation consoles, starting on January 2028, from that date forward, new games will only be available to buy via the PlayStation Store or from retailers in digital formats only. Thoughts on any of this?
Yeah, I mean, just moving away from, physicality again, right? Physical pieces, So it just becomes, money, more of a moneymaker when you're, in the cloud or wherever you want to call it,
Right.
So you can kind of constantly sell from that point of view. And if something upgrades, you get caught on pay more for this next feature, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like paying for, if you're playing Fortnite or something like that, you get new skins or whatever. It's like extra charge, right? There's always people out there who want the physical media of it, so you're going to have people on the, secondary markets doing that, which I think is still good because we do a lot of collections of DVDs and, cassette tapes are, kind of make a comeback a little bit, and records are definitely a comeback, so there's always going to be people doing that, but with a new generation of kids who don't care about any of that stuff for the most part, it's, online just seems like the next stage. I'm hearing now that with even cars, they're going to make you do subscriptions to, navigation. So, I think Toyota's coming out with something. So it's just the way that things are. They're just constantly just charging you.
You have kids. So what do your kids have any thoughts on this? Do they care if they own movies?
Well, my
video games. You have a lot of kids, too, Charlie.
I don't know. Mine are just very much on the physical media still. So
okay.
Actually, my daughter doesn't care one way or another. She doesn't play games and stuff like that. My son is more in the records, so he's constantly collecting. He's at every record trade show there is. So
wow.
He's only looking for one artist, but he's definitely
Johnny Cash. Oh my god,
Johnny Cash.
That's hilarious.
So,
that's really funny.
But yeah, that's what he does. He doesn't really care about the digital side of things.
Okay, Charles, Saldino.
I think they get together and somebody has to just justify their paycheck, and they come up with, this will be more money, let's monopolize this area, we'll make more money. And then they really don't see the reality part of it. That's always a chance. Reality, I mean, it's anything when you're making a movie and you think it's going to be the greatest movie, you promote it, and then all of a sudden, how did this not work? You know? But it's all from the minds of people who think they know what the public wants.
Well, I'll never say it's going to be the greatest movie. As I said to my mom on the way here, hope is the root cause of disappointment. So I have not. No, I have some hope. But you'll never see me saying, you know, I have two movies that I produce coming out Saturday and Sunday, or Friday and Saturday. I'm not telling anyone it's the best thing ever. Actually, one was voted as best horror film in the whole festival. I don't know. We'll see. But whatever.
Exactly.
But that's tangential.
This worked for me. Let's see if other people get it.
Well, as far as physical media, here's one, I've only heard bad things, but here's one positive thing, right? So if you have a DVD with a scratch, that's it, right? If you have your own physical copy. But if your cloud isn't working, you can call somebody, you know, press 2, press 5 to talk to whoever, and maybe they'll upgrade your cloud copy. So that's maybe one benefit, right? Because what happens if you scratch a DVD, your dog eats it, it's done, right?
You get a classic sound from it. A lot of people put the albums with the scratches.
Okay.
It's more nostalgic. It's more of nothing. My clouds never work, by the way.
Okay.
just want to say that.
Cumulonimbus. Mark?
Yes?
Any thoughts on this?
Well.
On the physical media?
I think.
The ending of it, possibly?
I think it's set up so that way you can keep on paying more for the same thing you've already had. That's the way things have been going. The way things have been going for a long time is that instead of buying one thing one time, why can't you charge a monthly fee for the same exact thing? That's what it is, and people are buying it. And I think it's a horrible thing that's happened.
Horrible, no good, very bad day.
Horrible,
moving on to the next piece of news. All right, finally, from the It's Al, not AI department, none other than Weird Al Yankovic mentioned that a business software company offered a, quote, nice pile of money to be in a commercial, only to find out it was for AI, and then he turned it down. Al Yankovic says, it was business software that would increase productivity, and they offered me a nice pile of money. I said, oh, well, yeah, sure, I could do that. And then a week before we're supposed to shoot it, I found out, oh, this is AI. And I thought, oh, no, I can't be the poster boy for AI. Forget it. So I felt bad about kind of pulling out at the last minute. Would you represent an AI company, Mark Torres?
So it's funny. I've been being the what's the word, the promotion guy, the
PR?
The face of, figurehead, the bobblehead.
I've been giving praise to Weird Al Yankovic because, as you mentioned before, that Michael is the second highest grossing film of this year. It's a biopic. And I've explained many times my issues with biopics.
Right.
But Weird Al Yankovic's biopic is exactly what a biopic is. It's completely fake.
Right.
So if you watch the Weird Al Yankovic biopic, you're like, oh, I understand what a biopic should be, because it's not. So having him being against AI, I think it's a great thing, especially since it's Al, not AI. And I think that guy thought it was just an idea.
Right.
Like, oh, let's hire this guy because it's Weird AI as opposed to Weird Al.
All right, I think we can.
It's a good idea.
Weird AI. It is. There's a lot of weird AI out there. I'm coming desensitized to it. All right, let's do one piece of news before we go to the break real quick. Speaking of GTA, Grand Theft Auto, from the If You Want to Play the Game, You Better Buy a Plane Ticket department. Months before its release, countries Bahrain, China, Kuwait, Lebanon, Oman, Qatar, Russian Federation, and Taiwan have all banned the sale and the play of the game in their countries. This is due to the, quote, violent and sexual content shown in GTA 5, which was also banned in these countries previously. You think this should be banned? You think these countries should be banning this game?
Well, it's their rules, you know. I mean, it's just the game is pretty violent, but, you know, I mean, it's just it's a different country, so I can't really say.
You think your kids would get more violent from playing this game?
Would they get more violent? No, I don't think they get more violent. I think it's just not necessary. I mean, I mean, you could do a lot of crazy stuff in that game, so I don't know if it's you know, if I want them to even do it here, for the most part. You know, it depends. I mean, I've seen kids really young play that game. It's insane. So it's a parenting issue. But, you know, I mean, another country doesn't want that game, then, you know, I mean, there's censorship all over the place. It's not just the games. It's other things like the media. You know.
Yeah, we have a lot of games about shooting people, and I think we should have games about farming. Seriously, because if we have more farming and more people growing their own food and doing healthy things like cleaning their own homes, that would be a good role model. So,
Do you remember Farmville?
Yeah, Farmville, right? Yeah.
Farmville. Well, you actually used to play that. Really?
That's all you did was farm.
Yeah, you just farm.
Oh, okay.
One of my coworkers at
You have to buy things. Don't you have to buy all these upgrades?
I don't know.
No, you don't. You didn't at the time.
Really?
No.
I just remember that my one of my coworkers at the movie theater I used to work at, she loved that game, and she used to be like, I need you to press a button so that I can get more crops.
Right.
Yes. On your computer.
You'd, like, kill your farm or something.
So, like, you're supposed to like or something that they did, and then they get more points of farming. Right. I don't know, but I just know
wait
she was
for your corn to
farming.
Grow. It's like a crazy thing. Like, you wait 2 days, you know, for corn to grow. But, oh, let us grow the tomatoes. It takes 2 days, a day, you know, in 30 seconds, you know, and then you get the points. So it's just
that's what, like, Facebook was built on, was Farmville.
That's
this grand idea I had already exists. Look at that. Where have I been? All right, speaking of that, where have I been? We're going to go on a break right now, so we're going to say goodbye to our live studio audience for a quick second. We're going to go to a break. Thanks for listening to Came From the Radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com.
Hey everybody, this is Todd McFarlane of the record-setting Spawn comic series. And if you're looking for any kind of cool conversation about creators, about entertainment, about all that good stuff, you go to It Came From the Radio. You're listening to the right spot.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. You're listening to It Came From the Radio. Get out.
Now, back to our show.
All right, welcome back to It Came From the Radio. This is Jennifer Lewis Feldman, your host of the day. Sorry, Mark Torres. Well, he's here, but he's a guest on the show today. And we're here with senior correspondent Charles Saladino and filmmaker Lee Kowinski. All right, so now we're going to interview Mark Torres. This happened, I think, the last time, 2022. I think that's the last time we did this.
Well, it's the last time that you
Interviewed you, yes.
But I have not been interviewed on my own show in this way, in front of a live studio audience.
I don't think, all right, so before we get into the interview, I just have to say some things about Mark. Now, if it was up to me, I'd go full Howard Hughes. I have an interesting little story about that. I never leave my house. But whenever I talk to Mark Torres, whether it be a late night random phone call or doing a radio show, I'm always glad that he's alive, and I always feel uplifted and I feel charged after. Some other people, on the other hand, totally drain me and they make me curse my existence. Truly. So, just wanted to start out and say, God bless Mark Torres! Hallelujah! Amen! All right. And he, in my eyes, he always treats the guests and people with compassion and courteousness and respect. And above success ratings, money, vacations. I hate vacations, so not much, saying much. Did I say I hate leaving my house? How the people that I work with treat others matters more than all else. I think that at all times, and I think at the end of life and now, what will matter most is how we treat other travelers on this crazy place called Earth. So, Mark, I'm glad we met by chance or destiny, and I feel like I've become a better person, maybe not today. And I appreciate our differences, and I always learn a lot, so thank you. So before I ask you anything related to your designated comic books, I have to ask why you seem to make efforts to treat people with compassion instead of being a life ruiner. Why do you do this?
Wow. First off, that sounds like my eulogy, so thank you for that.
You know.
Jeez, I don't know. It's just something that you never know what anybody's going through.
Mm-hmm.
You never know the whole story. So you just kind of give them a benefit of the doubt, unless they are actively mean to you. I think, why not? It doesn't cost you anything. It actually doesn't hurt. And
nice.
Maybe sometimes, you know, you have to put yourself in this situation. You're like, you know, things kind of suck for me. And if someone showed me a little bit of kindness or niceness, it'd make my day better.
True.
That's what I kind of do.
I recognize little pieces of kindness that have made my days better and other worse. Although one piece of animosity that happened recently actually made my day better because it was really funny to laugh at it. All right, so let's go into your book. So we have Designated 1 comic book. We have Designated 2. I guess, spoiler, the end of Designated 2 has, I guess, what looks like a dragon, or it looks like a snake with wings. And I was reading all these, like, near-death experiences online for 2 hours, from 6 in the morning to 8 in the morning the other day. So, and one person said that when they died, they saw, like, a reptilian snake-like being that also had wings. And it reminded me of the creature that is the end of Designated 2. So my question for you is, do you believe in other dimensions and other planets? We're going to start off real light.
Other dimensions and planets, just by randomness, like this, there has to be more than just us. They say it's an infinite amount of planets out there. There's got to be another one. There's got to be at least one other one. And then the rule is, if there's one, then there has to be another one. And if there's two, there has to be a third one. So, yes, I believe that there is other life out there. And as for alternate universes, that's a very contradictory one, I would say. Because on one hand, you can say that everything is supposed to happen the way it's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, there is no free will and everything is just going to happen the way it is. So, therefore, there is no multiverse. Or, at the same time, that every single chance, every single second is an opportunity for so many things to happen that it will make a whole multiverse, and there's one universe where I'm sitting over there and you're sitting over here. There's one universe where you're not here. It's a whole bunch of things. So I think both of them at the same time.
So why did you pick this creature to end your book? So why not like a wolf
to end a fish? To end issue two, spoilers completely for a story that hasn't come out
yet. I think you just turned to the end page. It's not that spoilerish, right?
So
I don't believe in spoilers, but anyway.
The little Chinese boy with the hat that Charlie hates.
I hate him. I don't even know him. I hate him.
But he's in a comic book form, so it's different. Not movie form.
Oh, okay. So he, in the book, he's manifesting his powers.
Okay.
And because he's a Chinese boy, he created a dragon. And I told the artist to draw a dragon.
Okay.
And that's the type of dragon he drew. So I did not tell him what the dragon would look like.
Okay.
He, the artist, interpreted the word dragon to that. I would have thought of a different type of dragon, the more classic dragons, like the ones of American dragons. But I guess he had a...
Well, I didn't know what language this dragon speaks, so it could be American.
Well, it was a Chinese boy,
New York.
And the artist obviously had an Asian influence.
I see. All right, moving on. Next question. We got a lot of questions for you. One of your characters in Designated 2 doesn't want anyone to see his fear. Do you think that... Well, first of all, do you think aliens exist?
I just said that.
Well, aliens. We said other dimensions. I'm saying like aliens.
Yes.
Like me. All right. So maybe I'm an alien. All right. Do you think that...
Don't get pissy with the host.
That's okay. He can. It's fine.
The guest.
No, it's good. Bring it on. Come at me, bro. Do you think that aliens have egos and insecurities like us mortals?
I would guess that, just to make an interesting story, the villains have to have all the traits of a human so that people can relate to that. So in this situation, for the conflict, I would say yes. But like real aliens?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not. Because they would be an advanced thing. Like, it's like a fish and a human. Would the fish think that a human would act like a fish or not? You don't know, because you can't think like a fish. So if a human would think a higher being would think like us or not, you wouldn't know because of a higher being.
I've been told by like 9 or 10 people I'm part alien, by the way. Not 100%.
Which part?
My dad's side, not my mom's side. My dad's like 90% superhuman, according to one lady. Okay. And I have a lot of fear. So, hey, what are you going to do? And maybe a little ego. All right. 2 things that scare you. Go.
Death.
Taxes.
Doing my taxes. That's pretty scary.
Yes. Agree. So death and taxes. What about you guys?
Do
you have any fears? Maybe he doesn't want to show his fear. He's like the alien.
Speaking in front of people.
Speaking in front of people.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right? He's not a person. He's an alien. He's just an illusion. I put him there. Don't worry. To scare you.
I have a fear. Corny, small hands.
Really? I have big hands, so you're fine.
Is it a clown fear, or is it just carnies?
Just carnies.
Okay. All right. Do you believe in God, angels, or demons?
Do I believe in God? I used to, not anymore.
Really?
I believe that there is some type of thing out there that was...
I'm out there.
Ridiculousness? Was it,
real cool.
The guy, Bill Maher.
Religiousness?
Religiousness, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a part in religiousness that he said he doesn't believe in God, but he has seen things, and what people have seen can contribute that is God. And I'm like, I'm kind of on that boat, that maybe there isn't a God as it's described, but what we don't understand can be interpreted as God.
Well, for this is, I know this is your interview, a really quick note. I've had, I think, 7 people die, I want to say, and I can show text messages. All different times, but some people I hadn't heard from in years, and they all went out of their way to contact me. One contacted me from 2 different phone numbers right before they died, like days, and they said almost the same message. And that's just very interesting or weird, like right before they die. And a few people have said it's God speaking through these people to tell me this message. And it's the same message through all like 7 people. And I barely even knew some of these people, but they went out of their way to be like, you got to do this. You got to do this. So, yeah, kind of interesting.
What's the message?
The message, strangely, is to do funny videos, to keep doing funny videos. And to outdo SNL, according to one, yes, from multiple people. I can show you the messages. They're written out. And I can show you the death soon. It's very crazy.
I don't want to take the bait, but I'm going to have to. You believe that God is telling you.
This is other people then.
Yeah, but you say that the seven
people all in a row.
That if
right before they
die. A message.
Yeah.
To make funny videos, that's the message?
I know.
All the messages to get, that's the message you're getting?
Dude, I know. It actually makes sense based on, you know, what has going on.
Good video.
Yeah, they said to make silly videos. They said, one guy said, oh, it cheers up my day, and I'm not just saying that. One guy I hadn't heard from in 3 years, and I want to say either that day or the next day in 48 hours, he got into a motorcycle accident. And I can print these all out. I wouldn't say anything if I couldn't back it up. I can find them. Anyway, that's very weird messages, but hey, so what do we think we're doing right now? We're making a weird video, okay? All right, so 2 pet peeves. Pet peeves.
Oh, I thought you were saying 2. You were,
next question.
I thought you were segueing.
No segue. I don't believe in segues.
You just throw out a...
Just get right into it. Yeah, get right into it. No foreplay, no segue. 2 pet peeves.
Jesus.
This show's about you, Mark.
I'm glad I had no idea what was going to happen. Pet peeves. All right, let's see. People who touch my stuff.
Oh, yeah. Agree.
And people who don't do what they say they're going to do.
Okay. Yeah, agree. Actually, both, but I got a long list. Any pet peeves you'd like to share?
No, but I have a question for Mark. A very stress-free question for Mark. You, not only your passion for comic books and everything like that, I've seen that. You also host a show called It Came From the Radio for many, many years.
Right.
And I've listened a couple of times.
Just a couple.
Same couple.
I know you've been on for years. Stress-free question. Who is your favorite co-host?
I just started, man.
No. You can pick someone who retired. Herman, right?
My favorite I would go with Herman because... So for those of you who do not know, Herman Sinertia, we referring, we love to, is calling him Shemp, is Charlie Saladino's, one of his best friends. Mm-hmm. I actually met Herman Sinertia in the movie theater I used to work at. He was the projectionist. That man was insane, and he was hilarious, and he was a great entertaining person to be on.
I thought you were
going to
say him.
I said it.
He, on certain levels, is a part of Jen where you have no idea what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 times out of 10, it's pretty darn entertaining what they said. I will just mention this one time. We had the head of New York Comic Con, Lance Fensterman, on the show live on the radio at WGBB, where we've been doing the show for quite some time. And Herman decides to ask him for a job. So you don't ask the head of a company.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. But you don't ask the guy live
on air.
Maybe he's ill.
Is that a pet peeve?
Not a pet peeve, but it's just a craziest thing that he did it with such sincerity. It wasn't a malicious thing. It wasn't he was trying to be funny. He just wanted a job. That's why I would say he would be my favorite coach.
The funniest thing is we never put the disclaimer on the views of the radio.
That came later.
That was for him.
Oh, wow.
We were always calm. We were always Switzerland, neutral. We loved our guests, whether we liked their product or not.
Mm-hmm.
But Herman, we would cringe whenever he opened his mouth. It was a scary thing.
Cringe? Sounds great.
Oh, we would like actually go like, oh. You know, we never knew what was... flying out, and Mark is absolutely right. I wanted to go under the desk when he said he asked him for the job. Oh my God, yeah, it was great. So that disclaimer is not for anybody who came. It was for Harmon.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Switching. No segue. Don't believe in spoilers, because a spoiler, it can never spoil the experience you get from watching or reading or doing something. So I don't care. You can tell me the whole thing. I don't believe in spoilers. Never will. All right. No segues. Who are your top three actors of all time? Or just pick three you'd like to see tonight. Maybe who are you in the mood for today? If you want to watch three actors of any type, adult or kid actor, you know.
I will modify that to be the top three celebrities.
All right. Sure.
I've always had a list of people I either wanted to meet, and then as time went on to interview. So Bill Bixby.
Handshake.
Paul.
You're welcome.
Bill Bixby, who played the Incredible Hulk, he played Banner of the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
Paul Rubens, who was Pee Wee Herman.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam West.
Okay.
Who was the original Batman of the 1966 series. Those would be like the top actors I would really like to.
How about people that are, you know, you could actually talk to now?
Wait, we're going to that.
The only person I would really like to talk to is Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith. Oh, well, that's...
He seems obtainable.
Yeah.
He's not as easily attainable as I would like him to be.
All right.
I just texted a producer as I'm walking in who just met him, like, recently, so...
Oh, way to rub it in.
Listen, I don't want to go. I just like driving. I don't want to leave my house, okay?
We were supposed to go to meet Kevin Smith.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Well, I don't like to go watch my own movies, you know. I'd rather just make them. All right. Now, bringing back people from the past, two people from the past in your life, if you could bring them back, who would you bring back and why?
Well, my mom, because she died.
That makes sense.
She was a great inspiration to me, and my greatest friend, Andre, who died recently. Really, it was probably one of the most devastating deaths I've had,
mm-hmm.
and it's still affecting me. It's only been a year and change. His birthday was a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, it's like walking around with a missing arm.
And what's one thing or two that you liked about him?
Andre?
Yeah.
He was my go-to guy, actually. I dedicated the second issue to him, and I even mentioned him in the first issue. He's just someone who was always there,
mm-hmm.
and he's one of those people where you don't know how integral they are until mm-hmm. they're gone. You know, they always say, oh, you don't know until you can't mm-hmm. appreciate something
mm-hmm.
until they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated him. I did. But when he died, I didn't realize how integral to my life he was and how often we connected and talked and interacted on a daily basis.
Hmm.
So now that every day goes by, I'm like, oh, this is the thing I would have talked to him about. This is the phone call I would have made. It doesn't happen.
Hmm.
So those would be the two people.
You know, that wouldn't have happened if you do what I do. Almost every time I'm with my dog and many people, I actually picture them dying. I say, this might be the last time, so... let's make the most of it. And I pictured, I really do. And I try to be like, all right, well, let's really make the most of everything, because this is all
right. The last
gone.
Time you do something,
yeah.
Maybe the last time you do something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so back to your comic book. Now, Natasha, the main character who I play, she's kind of ditzy. I don't think she's a brainiac. If I had to say what her IQ is, I would imagine it's like 100 to 115. I don't think it's above that. And just for reference, you know, I haven't really brought my A game to the show, but I was supposed to be like 135 at one point, which is still not that high. But anyway, so as far as intelligence goes and the persona of Natasha, this broad right here, your main character, Lady Princess. Yeah, she's a broad. She's a broad. She's a lady. She's a dame. She doesn't look like a flip-flop or a floozy or a flim-flam or a hua. Now,
a hua?
No, she doesn't look a hua.
This is a PG show.
But she's your... well... whatever, just read between the lines. She's your character lady protagonist, okay? So where in the world did this persona come from? Why did you make her the way she is? Why didn't you make her smarter or dumber or different? Or why is she blonde? Why is she?
So Natasha was the all-American girl. I had to, when I came up with the idea for the comic series...
I am Russian.
No, not Russian.
Okay.
I had to come up with archetypes. Of who would be what and what kind of personality.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come up with a lead, I wanted it to be a female.
Mm-hmm.
So All-American Girl usually are the most likable ones.
Okay.
I made her, she had to have a story as to why she got into the situation when she did. In
mm-hmm.
the first issue, as you know, she got into a major car accident. And because of that car accident, instead of chain reaction of events, for the rest of the story to happen. So I basically came up with a reason and then worked my way backwards to why that reason would be.
Okay.
And a lot of times, a lot of writers have stuff that never sees print, but it's in the back of your head of their backstory. So
yeah.
She was actually, grew up in the Midwest, once again, the typical all-American, blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. That's, right there, that's her look. Blonde hair, blue-eyed,
right.
Midwest.
Right, right.
She was modeled after certain people.
Right.
Most notably would be Britney Spears. That was the actress. Well, she wasn't even an actress back then. She didn't make the movie yet. Singer.
Pop star.
Yeah. She was on the Mickey Mouse Show or something.
Exactly.
She was an actress.
Well, I didn't consider her an actress until she did Crossroads.
Oh.
Okay.
But that was in 2004, maybe? I'm thinking.
Sometime in the 2000s.
Yeah. But so that was the idea, the classic girl. And then we had to move her into the city. And because of the culture shock, that's why she's disorganized. And because she's disorganized, that leads to why she was in a rush to get to work because she never could get her act together.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that she's not intelligent. It just means that she's a fish out of water.
No, she never does anything that's that intelligent. I'm really not impressed with her
with her dialogue.
She has a great body, but I don't know. Okay, here.
And I also needed her to be on her own.
Okay.
For her to be on her own, that means she had to move from one place to another. Going to a big city puts her out of fish out of water. That's the while she came to be.
All right. So, next question for your books: why tell these stories? Is there a reason why you chose these exact stories to be in your book?
So this particular story, since it's a 5-part story,
mm-hmm.
beginning, middle, end, it does tell a full story arc once you get to the entire key of the end of the book. Which, if people buy the book, it'd be a lot easier to tell the story.
Sure.
The idea was, when I was in the New York Academy of Comic Arts and Fantasy Illustration in Manhattan, at the time it was the 90s, and I wanted to break into comics.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was that I was told by the professors, one of which was Russ Braun, who draws The Boys, who draws the cover of the comic book right now.
Yeah, awesome.
And the guy who ran the school is Carl Paolino, who you also know has been a guest on the show.
Also.
He was in charge of the school.
Yeah.
And they specifically told me at the time, remember this is the 90s,
right.
to get into the comic book business because there was only 3, maybe 4 companies. Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse. Those are the 4.
I see.
You could only really get into Marvel and DC.
Okay.
Maybe if you were lucky, you'd get into Image Comics, because Image Comics was a creator-owned company. So the idea was that you had to bring in a story to sell it to them, which
mm-hmm.
they would buy, just like we were talking about before, about mm-hmm. being paid mm-hmm. correctly. You would
mm-hmm.
sign a contract, sign a deal, get your story in, and once you establish yourself as a comic book creator,
mm-hmm.
then you can say, oh, this is my idea, and then you would have complete ownership of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is, I would have to come up with something that I had to feel that I had to get rid of,
mm-hmm.
be willing to lose to get my foot into the door. And that's how this book came to be. Because my original creation that I had was a very sci-fi, superhero-y type epic tale,
mm-hmm.
which I came up with before to get into the comic book industry, but I didn't want to get rid of that. So I had to think of something at the time which was anti-90s. So in the 90s, everything was extreme and crazy and,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, to the max, as they used to say.
Okay.
So it was very anti. So this is why this story is a very small, self-contained story. It happens over a small amount of time. Yes, there are aliens in it, but even still, it's very low-key things that happens to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've seen the 2 issues. Not much crazy stuff has happened on the planet Earth.
Right.
So that's kind of made it a grounded story. And that was why it had to be that way, because it was anti-whatever, and I was willing to get rid of it
mm-hmm.
and to put it in there and to use up whatever goodwill I had, and then I'd be able to make my own thing. Obviously, that plan took way longer than I thought.
Right.
And because it took over 30 years to get this far, I now have a stronger investment in this story and these characters than I did with my original story, which is, yes, super.
Okay, so actually, you gave me the segue, even though I don't believe in segues. Creating a radio show in comics takes up a lot of time and energy. What drives you to create these things? And if radio and comics didn't exist, what 2 things would you replace them with?
There was a convention I was at. I was overhearing a conversation between 2 artists, and the artist said, the problem with being an artist is that you're a creator and you have to create. That's what you do. A painter paints, a builder builds, a creator has to create. So I felt the need, I had to get this story out, and I had to create it. And the radio show was one way to get this done. And the plan didn't work, because to get the radio show was to get into connections with people in the industry, and I managed to get my book done. So it worked. Once again, it took way longer than I had planned.
All right, we're going to go back to this God stuff. You ever try psychedelics or DMT or shrooms or anything you think would connect you to other worlds or dimensions or change the creator in you?
That question's way longer than the answer.
Well, hypnosis, meditation, anything that maybe would change your perception of reality?
No.
Interesting. But didn't you do hypnosis, though?
Not as a recipient.
Ah, but you know, sometimes when you put someone else through, like I was a trainer for years. I did a lot of things with other people. But when I put them through the trainings, I would oftentimes feel what's going on in their body. I would actually feel different pains and things. I've also been told a medical intuitive. So maybe when you were putting someone through a hypnosis, maybe you ever experienced anything they experienced? No, interesting.
No, okay. I forgot we're on radio.
Yeah, we're on radio. No.
All right. Well, there's a lion head. A lot of people think there's lion heads in other dimensions. And I know someone who took shrooms and saw me as a lion. So lions might be relevant, just saying. All right, switching gears, no segue. Top two songs or music artists.
Top two.
For today.
You gotta.
What do you feel?
What about them?
What are your top two?
What would the soundtrack be?
If I did like a James Gunn type deal and I had to do a needle drop. Spice Girls, Smash Mouth.
Spice Girls.
Billy Joel.
Really? Interesting. And if you had to sing karaoke right now, what are one or two songs you would sing?
Karaoke would be Fastball Away.
And if you had to write a song about me, what details would you include?
If I had to write a song about you?
Yes, sir.
I'm not a songwriter.
You're a comic writer. You can write a song.
You can write a comic about you, but I can't write
a song.
Just because you can write a comic does not mean you can write a song.
Mom, you said that we wouldn't talk about it.
Crazy
Jane. Yeah, I'm singing your comic book right here. You can sing the whole thing out.
I wouldn't be able to even... I would have to sit and think about... What did I want to tell about the story, and what about you did I want to, what I wanted to put you through? So it wouldn't just be a story about you; it would be a story about you and what you do and what happens to you.
Right. So.
I couldn't come up with that on the spot.
Oh, come on!
It took me forever to write this.
Oh, come on.
30 years.
All right. Unrelated questions.
Unrelated.
Well, you know, sarcasm. There's something that we use in this world.
Okay.
You know, so that was a little sarcasm.
What was the question?
Flock cameras or surveillance systems. Yeah, there's something called flock cameras that are being installed all over the United States to monitor your speeds, where you're going, where you are. So anywhere you go, you're going to be tracked. You think it's a good thing or a bad thing, and why?
Bad.
Because.
Because if I'm under the impression that we're supposed to be in the United States of America and we're supposed to be able to have the freedom to do whatever we want, as long as it's not an illegal thing.
Well, maybe the protection is for your freedom.
But it's that whole debate about the freedom and then being observed, which takes away your freedoms.
Are you going to fight for your right to party? Okay, next topic. AI, they say it's going to kill many jobs. Do you think that AI killing a lot of jobs is a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't think AI is going to kill jobs in the same way as CGI. They said it was going to kill a lot of jobs, but it also created a lot of jobs. I think AI in itself, because of how it is being represented, is a bad thing. If it was done the right way, AI would be a great thing. But because AI, as I said many times on the show, is if you take a 100-piece puzzle and take one piece of the 100-piece puzzle and take another, if you take 100 pieces of a 100-piece of a 100-piece puzzle and make your own puzzle and then say that's a new puzzle and that you own that puzzle or that's made, that's what AI is.
Right.
So that's bad because they're not getting paid or compensated for it, which is something else that was in the news. If AI was being used correctly and people were getting compensated for it properly, I don't think AI would be a problem. But the problem is they're not getting compensated and they're just using it as a cheat sheet, and that's where the issue comes from on my end.
Would you get a robot to clean your house and do things for you and cook for you if that becomes available for $25 a month?
a robot service.
Yeah, robot servant, basically.
And
they can cook and clean.
I'm not going to take the bait. So I'll just say I'll get a robot.
Wait, what's the bait? What's the bait?
Get a robot.
I wouldn't get a robot, actually. Because I'm not good at delegating, and I don't trust anyone to do my cooking or cleaning. And
you have a microwave.
It's not a robot.
You said you don't trust anything to cook and clean.
Well, I don't trust the microwave either. It does heat up the food, but I don't trust it. I'm like, I'm killing myself. What am I doing? Every time I do it, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm doing this again. What am I doing? You know?
But you still eat the food.
Listen, I'm an addict. I'm addicted to a microwave. That's what addicts do. They do things that maybe are against their best interests. You understand?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a perfect person, Mark. You know, I know that I don't want to squash your dreams here. Cryptocurrency. Would you let anyone pay for your books with crypto? I want to buy the whole stack. Last question. Crypto.
I know nothing about cryptocurrency.
You think it's going to stick around? You think it's a scam?
So I think it's a scam?
Yeah, I want to get into your psyche today.
Sure? I don't know.
Sure, it's a scam. All right, well, that closes out our show today. So, Mark, what's your final thought?
Did you forget something?
Probably.
It's on the notes.
Well, we're going to do final thoughts, and then we're going to do the raffles, and then
yes.
Raffles. We got the two tickets to the Eternal Con, and then two copies of Mark's book. So we'll have Charlie do my work for me. Thank you.
All right.
What's it going to be first? The
somebody
book
pick out.
What, let's raffle
well,
off. What's it going
to
be? Two tickets to the Eternal Con.
I don't have my glasses. I can't read it.
376754.
And now we're going to raffle off two copies of the book.
Issue one, issue two.
Okay.
Designated.
376750.
376750. Okay.
All right, and now we can close out the show, right? Okay. I just didn't want to do that. All right, whatever. So give us your final thought.
This was a very interesting experiment. It went exactly as I thought it was going to go.
Hey, look at that.
So I want to thank Jen for handling the whole thing. I want to thank Lee for the technical aspects of it. I want to thank Charlie Saladino for being Charlie Saladino.
Yay!
Live studio audience, and I also want to thank
Kelly
Gordon, but I was going to say the East Metal Public Library
East
for having
Metal
us
Library.
Here.
Yay.
And Kelly Gordon, who is, I like to joke, is in charge of that.
Where can we get your book?
Yeah, where can we get your book?
Oh, what a great question.
Let's give us your social media.
Go to our website, www.itcamefromreal.com. This little button on there takes you right to the book.
Mm-hmm.
We have issue one and issue two is on sale right now.
Right.
If you ever come to the live radio shows, which we have at the second Wednesday of every month, you can always come and get the books in person, and we have a deal in person for that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just want to mention that we managed to turn the book into a radio play by Mr. Filmmaker Lee Kalinske, and we performed it at New York Comic Con in 2023, presented to us by Troma Entertainment. Troma Entertainment has agreed to do it again for this year. We are just waiting for confirmation on this panel. So everybody out there, go to our YouTube page, look up the video that we did from the panel, share it out there, tag Troma, tag New York Comic Con, help us get in for this year.
And Charles Saladino, your final thought for the day?
Well, I do have a final thought. I would like to thank Mark for coming down, taking time and coming down.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I want you to go out, buy his comic books. They're amazing. And Natasha is definitely hot. So go out and get that.
Right.
And just be nice to everybody. Cost nothing.
Final thought, Lee Kalinske.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder there.
Come on,
I think.
You didn't read
anything. Buy Mark's comic, man. Issue one and issue two. Maybe two and one. I don't know. Just get them. You know?
get them with crypto.
Buy it through crypto.
Or steal them. Or try to steal them, and then we can sue you. All right. That's the end of the show. The next live show is the 107th live show at the East Meadow Public Library. It's going to be on Wednesday, August 12th, with comic book writer Jason Huer. I always feel like I'm saying his name wrong. Sorry, Jason. We'll be raffling off a copy of his latest comic, and we're giving away 2 free passes to the Long Island Doctor Who? Doctor What? Convention.
Nice.
And thank you for listening to It Came From the Radio. This has been something. See you later. Bye.
You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.